Okay, Lloyd, tell me if you would please, what is the earliest event in your life that you can remember?
I guess it was when I was in the house with my brother Carl at night, and my mother and father were out milking the cows, and we were there with the coal wall lamp, and every once in a while I would call out and ask mother at the barn, just call out the door and ask her how many cows she had yet to milk, or how long before she could come in the house.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To back up just a little bit, tell me when you were born and where you were born and how old you are now, please.
Well, I was born in Afton at the Stock Home, which exists just across the street from the Third Ward Church House, and that was moved from where the church house is. And I was born there in that Stock Home in the upper room, probably. And Dr. G.W. West was my doctor, and I was born in Afton. And at that time, Mother said that that night, on the 17th of May, they had the biggest snowstorm they'd had in Star Valley. 17 inches fell, and my father was 3 days getting from Aetna up to Afton to see me.
What year was that?
1911, May 17.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So how old are you now? How old is that?
96. 96 and about 8 months.
How did your parents go about choosing your first name? Is it a family name?
No. I think it was from the probably the Lords of London or something. They just liked the name. They didn't tell me.
How long did you live in Afton?
Oh, I've lived in Afton while I was going to high school, 2.5 years altogether. That's when I lived in Afton.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You moved around the valley then?
We grew up in Aetna and raised on a farm a mile and a half south of Aetna. And then as my father finally sold the ranch, actually he moved to Aetna before he sold the ranch. And he was postmaster there about 10 years.
What were the names of your mother and father?
My father's name was William Alonzo Baker, and he went by Lonnie. And my mother's name was Blanche Brawley Mayberry Baker.
And where
those
did they
were family names.
Where did they come from?
She came from Blackfoot. My father returned from his mission in Indiana and ran the Star Theater in Blackfoot, Idaho, and met her there. And they were married and moved to Star Valley in a little log cabin.
What year was that?
1909.
Okay. And your dad was a rancher primarily, is that what you're saying?
Yes, he milked a bunch of cows and they sold the milk to the creamery companies that were here, and they didn't pay much for milk, but that's the only way they had to making a paycheck is off the milk cows.
Okay. Tell us about your mom and dad. Were they nice? Were they fun?
My parents were very happy, I think. At least to begin with, they were. I've been out with my father when There were just one or two of us around, and he sang most of the time when he was working, and he always enjoyed the neighbors. He'd get together and chat with them, and when he had time to chat with them, or the chores and other thing else could wait till he got through. He didn't mind working till midnight to get it done, though, either.
Okay.
Very sociable.
Do you recall anything about your grandparents?
Oh, yes. My mother's parents. My grandfather was a great hunter and trapper. He trapped furs out on the Grays Lake area, and he'd come up from Blackfoot and trap him. My grandmother was a school teacher a big part of her life, so mother was well educated for third grade student, and my father got through the fourth grade, I didn't know either of my grandparents on my father's side. Mm. But my grandmother built that home in Etna, the historical home.
What are the names of your brothers and sisters? Can you give it to me, beginning with the first one?
Well, Lloyd Brawley is the first one, and Carl Brawley is the second one. And then we had a sister in between called Rella, I guess, was her name. Rella, I think. And she died at birth. And then Dennis Ashton Baker lives here in Afton. Then 4 years later, on his birthday, Margie Brawley was born, and then Wayne was 2 years after that, Wayne Brawley, and then Rex Brawley 2 years after that, Lester, he just called him Lester D. He calls it LD now, and then L.C. Brawley is a youngest sister.
Do you recall experiences of playing with your brothers and sisters? Any fun activities that you used to do?
Well, a lot of drudgery on the farm, you know. But Carl and I, while we were in grade school, had 12 cows between us to milk and take care of down in a barn down at the home site. And we milked cows nice in the morning and prepared them up and fed the calves and pigs and sheep and chickens and so on. And then my father at the same time had a hired man by the name of Colton Kimball. He was a wrestler. They had a 24 cows at the barn at the rented neighbor's place. And so they milked those and took care of those cows, and then, of course, did the general feeding and everything. That was during high school. Or during grade school.
And did your friends and your parents have any nicknames for you?
Parents didn't, but we had an uncle, Ether, that lived with us. He did our carpenter work and worked as a carpenter, did a lot of nice building around the valley. He called Carl Hooligan and me Mulligan. I had a nickname in school that Theon Wolfe had pinned on me, Napoleon, and he shortened it into Nap. But and a lot of other people used it too, and I didn't like it.
What was Christmas like for you when you were growing up?
We always had a good Christmas. We each got an orange and a stocking, and one of my favorite things was to get a harmonica. We had harmonicas, and then we had tops you could spin. Also got marbles to play marbles. And I don't know about other things. Usually we got some items of clothing too. So.
Did your family have any special ways of celebrating birthdays?
No, I don't think we ever celebrated a birthday. Don't recall it.
Okay. Were there any special family traditions that your parents held?
Can't think of anything we call traditions. I can't think of anything.
Okay. Do you remember your baptism? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, my baptism didn't take place until I was 9. And the reason being is that when I was in the springtime when I was 8, and I could tell you a little story about that, if we've got time. I rode a horse to school, and I had a little sorrel mare, and she was very obedient, and I had no problem with her. But we'd ride her to school and park her under the Bowery at school, that little Bowery, with trees across the top and so on. I'd park her in there and then ride her home after school. But one time I was supposed to take a horse named Tizzy. She was a great big tall American saddler, big sorrel mare, very hard to ride, very difficult to ride. You get her in a get her beyond the walk, and she was almost untenable. She'd shake sideways and so on. And I took her to school. But one morning, it was the early springtime, snow still on the ground, she decided she wasn't going to school. She took the bit in her mouth and took Kid and her and ran back, turned around, went back through the gate and out onto the feed ground, dumped me out there. And that set a spell for numerous sicknesses. And I'm sure if it hadn't been for the elders being called in, I'd have probably died with very numerous sicknesses. And in the late summer, before I learned to walk again, I was laid up for many months. So I wasn't baptized that year, but I was baptized the next year by Bishop Ray Clark. He was our bishop then, and he baptized me down in the river. Actually, the slough, I guess, down from on his pasture down by the river. And on the third day of October, 1920.
Okay.
Kind of cold, too.
How did you feel about school? How well did you do in school when you were growing up? What were your favorite subjects?
I went to school in Aetna until through the 9th grade. Of course, the first year of high school down there. And then I went to Afton and stayed with Ernest Clark. He was a seminary teacher and also the Spanish teacher. in the high school at Afton. And he was married to one of Orson Pratt's granddaughters. And they had a real nice family, good church family. And I stayed with them the first year. And then the second year, I came back and I stayed with the Mrs. Welch. She was a widow of Ben Welch. He was quite a historical person in the town of Afton here. In fact, he lived on this street here. And but she lived over on the other street by her son Farnum. Well, her son-in-law, Farnum Call, he was married to their daughter. And so Lamoni Call was next door, and his brothers. And so I lived there, and then the last half year I came back. My senior year, I only went half the last half of the year, because I was out selling ukuleles on the first half of the year and didn't attend college, so I only went to high school 3.5 years.
What were your favorite subjects?
Oh, math was always my favorite subject.
Did you have a favorite teacher?
Oh, yeah. I liked to... in the third grade, my favorite teacher was Rula Crook. She taught us to sing, all of our class. And so she made the statement that certain ones couldn't learn very well unless they got, you put it to music. And so she taught us all to sing. So I still sing some of the songs that favorite songs that she taught me. Mm-hmm. And of course I sang When I Milk Cows, you know, we always had something to do, so I spent most of my time singing during the time I was milking cows.
Did you have any unusual or exciting adventures while you were a youth? Anything special that you'd like to relate?
I don't know of any great ones. We made some calf cub fixed up Bays River, and we also went to the Alpine Hot Springs. In fact, as I was there one time, and my father took us down as a 4-H club, and I jumped in a deep pool over my head and didn't know how to swim, and so a man from Irwin was there, a young man, and he jumped in and pulled me out. So I guess that's have to do for that, I guess.
Okay. Was there anything special about high school that you enjoyed doing, or sports or activities or music, as you mentioned earlier?
We did a couple of things. I might mention we'd have track meets, and I got the highest of anybody in high school in track meet, but I had to do everything. I did the mile run and the 220 and the 150 and the pole vault and jump and so on, but I scored higher than anybody else in high school at that time. But I got in a 2-mile run with a guy by the name of Evan Call. Well, I didn't ever think of Evan as an athlete, but a lot of people reported that he'd been practicing running, and so we. We got in our run was to run from Welch's store, or from all the Anyhow, is the Jewish store 1 mile south and then back for the 2 mile run. Well, I never saw it necessary to practice, but and I didn't, but on the way out, I was about two-thirds or maybe three-quarters of the way out, and here was Evan Call coming back. He'd already been out. And when he got back in, the coaches were looking at their watches and say, it can't happen. But he had made that run so much faster than everybody else. I came in fourth. I planned to be on third, and I put on the steam about a block out of town, and they hollered at the Flukiger, Alvin Flukiger, and he made it just ahead of me. He got third. I don't remember who was second.
Did you have any favorite books during this period of time? Did you do much reading?
One church book was Piney Ridge Cottage by Anderson. That was my favorite book. It was a love story. But we didn't, I didn't do hardly any reading as a youth, any at all. And those that did, in my opinion, there was a family that were the best readers and read more than anybody else around. And one of them committed suicide, and another girl that was in my class died an alcoholic. So I didn't think that was too favorable anyhow.
What was your first exposure to radio and television?
Well, Kenneth Klinger lived in that house that my grandmother built when it was down by the river in Etna, and they were our neighbors, and he got an Atwater Kent radio and invited our whole family to come down one beautiful winter evening and listen to radio, and it was mostly static, but
yeah.
There was a little bit we heard over it.
What year was that, have any idea?
I don't know, but it must have been somewhere around 1920.
You mentioned before that music played an important part in your life. When did you start getting involved with music, and to what extent were you involved in music?
Well, what we did is we sang the music, the popular music of the time. My uncle went to dances and so on, and he liked music, did a lot of singing. And he'd sing The Cows like I did, I didn't do much in music. By the way, we have tomorrow night we're going to try to organize a quartet. I've been asked to join a quartet to sing around the area.
Excellent.
Just people local.
What was your favorite song and artist during this time?
Well, I don't know about the artist. One of my favorite musical programs was Jeanette MacDonald and Nelson Eddy, and they on Maytime. Did you ever hear that?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorites of all time.
Okay. What about during high school, were there dances? Did you attend the dances?
Always go to it. You know, when I was young, I was 18. I was here in high school, and a Clark girl, Hazel Clark from down Etna, she was up here to a dance. Her father played for the dances in Etna, but all the wards had dances. Not maybe every week, but you could go to two or three dances a week here at the during that time, but I hadn't danced at all. I was sitting on over at the Welsh Hall here, and so Hazel came up and got me. She says, "Lloyd, we're going to dance." I said, "I don't know how to dance." Well, she said, "Come on." So we did, and I've danced ever since, never did learn how. But they think I can, so.
Okay. Can you name some of your high school friends and those that you kept in touch with over the years?
I can. Well, Ralph Astor was the best friend I ever had in high school. He lived in Gover, and I started high school here when I was in a sophomore, of course, and after that we were just about inseparable for all the time I was here. But in grade school we had Vern Wolfley and Ray Wolfley were good friends. But Vern was probably my best friend over the years in as far as school is concerned, but Ralph went to BYU and I went to Wyoming University when we got out of school. But we spent quite a bit of time anyhow together. On weekends Ralph's family would have me out for the weekend, and on Sunday his mother, they had about 13 or 14 in the family, and she'd make enormous cakes, and then we'd make a freezer full of ice cream and take turns churning it. They'd separate the cream. Oh, that was good stuff.
You mentioned earlier in the evening some information about Hale Street. Could you tell us anything about the famous Hale Street here?
Well, about this location, pretty close to this location, maybe up the street a little bit or down the street, I don't think it was a block away, was a bootlegger. And so we came, I've come over here a time or two with guys that wanted to buy booze. I didn't go for that stuff, but when I was riding with them, I was where we'd come to Red Welch's for booze. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they had a bootlegger also in Thane, and and I've been there too. Went there with another man. I won't mention our names.
Lloyd, you went on to college after you left this area. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you to make that decision and where you went and what you took?
Well, I had a high school honor scholarship to the university that's supposed to pay for my tuition. And so I had that, and also I was runner-up for a 4-H scholarship with the Union Pacific Railroad Company, in which it paid $100 in cash and a fare to Laramie and back for school. So, taking advantage of those two, I worked for my room at the Tridelt House, and for a big part of the season, and also worked at the Commons for my meals, washed dishes and silverware and so on, and so that got me by pretty well. An interesting thing about that, when I went to school, I was taken up. I went to the dorm at first, and I was taken upstairs and introduced to my roommate, and it was Clifford Hansen, who became future governor and also United States Senator for 12 years from Wyoming. So Clifford and I were our first roommates. When I got my job at the Tri-Delt House, taking care of the furnace for the for my room, well, I worked along with anyhow, his first name was Ray. Ray Cross, but I'm not sure of his last name. But we took care of the furnaces there, so that's how I got by for room rent.
Now, I understand that you had something to do with the LDS Institute at Laramie?
Yeah, I worked there for the school year, 1935-36 school year, and that's when we built it. I worked through the construction of it. Started out in the fall and then ended up during the fall and summer doing landscaping and so on, and painting, and there was a number of things we did then.
What, after you left college, graduated from college, where did you go? What did you do? What was your professional interest?
I got a job as an engineering aide with the Bureau of Reclamation. And so my first job was with them. It started about August 1st, I think. That was taking samples of the rock and the gravel to be made for fill for the dam over the Big Sandy, on the Big Sandy, near Parson, California, or Parson, Wyoming. And when Paul came, they transferred us to Arizona, where I helped on the Salt River project. But this is at I have some blank spaces here. Anyhow, so we took topography of the upper Salt River area in there, and then I worked on canals, worked on the triangulation. When the government came through this mountain area, they place monuments on the tops of the mountains, mountain peaks all the way around. They tried to keep the network somewhere around, I say, less than 15 miles or 20 miles, something like that, so that you shoot from peak to peak, and you get, they had coordinates on those points, so that latitude and departure on the points, so that they could, you could figure coordinates going down into the different valleys. And on the Salt River down there, we'd triangulate those. We'd have to, our instruments were such then that we'd have to turn the angles about 13 or 14 times to get the error as little as we could, and then we'd calculate those and determine new locations down from that end of the valley, so we'd have control on the points. And so I worked on that, and also in one instance I helped lay out the center line of the dam. They're just, what's the name of the town? Anyhow, I'll get it sooner or later. Okay. I don't have too many meds on my recollector.
You have a family of your own?
Oh, yes. Now I married Edna Mary Wellborn after I transferred to Arizona. She was school teacher at Eden Valley, and so I met her there, and we married. She had come from Denver, but was teaching in Eden Valley, and since she resigned at Christmas time, and we were married in Denver, and went back to Sholo, Arizona. Got it. To Sholo, Arizona, where we lived for till April, and then I got a little upgrade in my station with the Bureau of Reclamation. I got a junior engineer rating, and they transferred me to Fresno, California, where I worked on the Fiant Dam and also did some preliminary work for the a dam on the Kings River.
When and where were you married?
We were married in Denver.
Okay, and what year?
Oh, Christmas Eve in 1940.
So. Do you remember anything about your wedding day? Anything special?
Well, we were married by state president there in Denver. And she wasn't a member of the church, so we were sealed in the Salt Lake Temple the next May after that.
What was it like to be newlyweds in 1940?
Well, they used to always have big receptions, you know, and I always thought that would be nice to have a reception, but I think we got a pair of pillows from my mother and a blanket from her mother, and I believe that was all we ever received. I know I went in Sholo to buy a can opener, and the lady in the store said, "Well, I thought you married one."
Were there any memorable or humorous adventures that you had as newlyweds?
Well, before we were married, of course, 1940 was a political year. Roosevelt was running for a second term, I think. They had some dances because of the deal. And they'd come in and spend some money on a band and have some dances, so we had dances there. But Halloween, of course, I was going with the school marm and the only one in Eden Valley area at all. And so I bought a little red Chevy, 31 Chevy. And so some of the guys, I had a crew of about six or eight fellows, some of them were single guys that were working for me. So of course that little red Chevy was just the thing, that was the objective. And so I lived in Farson, and down below that, there was a lower area on the Big Sandy, a shelf down there where big floods had really cut out, and there was some barns down there, and they had garages and so on up at Parson at the headquarters. And I lived in the hotel there at Parson, and so I came in after a date with Edna Mary. I came in and sneaked that Chevy down behind those haystack and hay yard and so on, and I put it right on behind that so that there was no way that anybody could see it from anywhere, any of the roads around there at all. I sneaked it around there, and I came in when there was nobody looking and went down and hid it behind there. I never found it. They said they looked all night for it.
Tell us about your family, your children.
My children, Judy was the oldest. She was after Sholo, then I went to Fresno, and of course she was born in Fresno, and so she was the oldest, and then I went from there to Sausalito, working in the shipyards. When the war broke out, then I had to either get me a defense job or be drafted. So I went to Sausalito, and there I met Dwight Bruner, who was a production engineer, and I had five buildings to take care of, including the ways on the for the ship ways for where they built the ship to slide it off into the bay. And so I spent, I worked through the project till we got those five buildings completed and the shipyard was ready to be built, and they were, in fact, they were building then, and Dwight wanted me to go into maintenance with him, and I didn't sound good for maintenance, so I came back to Clearfield, Utah, and worked with the Smith Canning Company there for a little bit, and then in the fall, that year, and that was 1942, I got a job in Logan teaching the air cadets, the mechanics of flying and so on. So I taught there for that season, and then the next season, the head of the engineering department and physics, engineering and physics, was drafted, and so they were searching for somebody to take over that spot in Boise, so I taught there during the 1943-44 school year. My, no, 44-45 school year. 43-44 was in Logan, and 44-45 was in Boise, and my oldest son was born there. And then went back to after that, the school year was over. I only had a contract for 1 year. I came out and worked for the Soil Conservation Service, with headquarters at Montpelier. I was worked unit engineer for Montpelier District as well as Grays, Idaho District, and I quit that job the next spring and went with the San Francisco Chemical Company, and they had that phosphate mine went east of Montpelier on the mountainside, and they had drillings on the they had core drillings on the mountain for the phosphate beds, and you'd go through the phosphate bed. And so they wanted a map to show how much overburden they'd have to take off and where to find the values on that. So I prepared a three-dimensional map for them so that they could measure how much overburden they have to take off. That when I got that done, well, I went up and applied for a cat skinning job on that. So I skinned cat there until that was a fall of 46, and my daughter Kathy was born the last day of 1946. We needed the tax deduction. And then Ruthie was born I have trouble with that. If I don't wait till I get to it. But anyhow, Hawthorne, California. She was born in Hawthorne. And then Steve, we had moved up to Mountain View, California. I was first city engineer of Mountain View, August 1950. I got my registration before that, and then so we moved up there August 1st, 1950, and I was city engineer. I was the first resident city engineer for the Mountain View, California. It was 75 years old. And so Lucy was born up there. So that's my family. She was born in Hawthorne, Steve's mother was Edna Mary's sister, and she was in a mental institution for a few years there, 4 or 5 years in Agnew. And so when she got out, we had raised Steve till he was about six, and for her, and then she got out and she decided to take him to Texas. Well, finally she got down in Texas and got married and had another child, and anyhow, she said she didn't love Steve anymore, she loved her daughter more, so she let him go back if we would adopt him. And so we did, and we were glad to get him back. And so he's our fifth.
What did your family do for entertainment?
They went to dances. They every year they have old folks dances, and very often during the winter they'd have dances. Also, they had a lot of activities here in the valley. They had boxing and wrestling tournaments in the fall. Not only just high school, but they'd have adults. We had the best wrestlers in the country come here and wrestle. The Clingers in Aetna were very sports-minded, and they were always into sports. So we played baseball. We played. They played basketball. They always skied. The older people didn't ski, but Dallas was quite a skier. He eventually, joined the Flying Tigers. But he came on our baseball team, I think, at 14. I joined it at 16, and played for several years. My last game, I think I was 25 or 26, when I pitched for Aetna. But we did a lot of baseball.
Were you involved with music in your later years?
I've almost always been the church choir. I sang with the first Los Angeles choir for the church, and it was led by a previous director of the Tabernacle Choir in Los Angeles, and I sang with the CBs in the New London, Connecticut, and with the Salt Lake Barbershoppers. I don't know, I've enjoyed singing a lot, and I've been singing for the last 7 years up here in the rest home. I sing to the old people.
What brought you back to Star Valley?
Well, this is home.
When did you come back?
I wanted to move back in 46, that way I would have been in on the ground floor on this surveying and engineering here in the valley, but my wife wouldn't live here, so I finally when I retired from New London, Connecticut, well, I decided to come here, and my agreement was to go to Salt Lake where she could sing in the Tabernacle Choir. She was a musician. I wasn't, but she was. And then she wanted to be in California where the kids were, and so she rented a place in California, and I wouldn't go there. I dug in my heels here. That's the only place realistically, here's the way I thought of it anyhow. There were 35 surveying and engineering companies in Santa Clara County, California, where she had moved back to. 35 companies already in business, and I'm going in there without a scratch of any equipment or anything. And I'm going back there. I had a business there, but I had to sell the business, and so on. So I didn't have a scratch, or anything. So I came here where I knew the people.
Well, as you look back on your life now, what do you think was the greatest accomplishment that you made?
Oh, I've been on some big projects. I guess the one that would bring the most people to think, probably the most important, would be I set Line and Greg for the BART system, first 22 miles of BART system for the railroad, for the track work. And I worked on, again, chief surveyor on that project down there, that BART system. I was chief surveyor on that, and also chief surveyor.
This is the Bay Area Rapid Transit System?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And also on three nuclear power plants for Bechtel Corporation. Mm-hmm. One in Plymouth, Massachusetts, Lusby, Maryland, and New London, Waterford, Connecticut, actually. This is where the location was.
Okay. As we wrap this thing up, then, is there anything else you'd like to add that you'd like to be remembered for, or your posterity would like to know more about that you haven't told them? Or,
well, I hope this is not the last interview I have. I don't plan to. I think I'd like to get a history written, but I don't have time. Can't do it. Work a job, shovel snow all day long, and get home with enough energy to do it. So we're actually surveying itself is something that you're going to be remembered by it whether they like it or not. Because when you go around and find a Lloyd B. Baker cap there, well, at least you're going to know he was here, whether he did it, messed it up or not. And that's, I've got maps filed in probably 3 or 4 different states, a lot of them in California and some in Idaho, well, in Wyoming. I'm not registered in Idaho, but my brother is. He worked there some. But I think probably outstanding is a family. I have 5 children and 17 grandchildren. Our rates are running about 40 now. That's the main thing. Do you have children?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have a lot of friends too. Our friendships. And I'd like to do something in music worthwhile too. Something more. But I don't get time to practice much either.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lloyd. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Really enjoyed having a chance to talk to you.
Thank you.